slick with winter blood, the cobblestones of Aylesbury concealed the truth behind the fireside myths of savage beasts and helpless maidens. History, after all, is written by the victors. Dragging a lowly apothecary from the ashes, the Alpha King wasn't claiming a mere slave. He was claiming her very veins. The winter of 1342 did not arrive with a gentle frost. It descended upon the Valley of Aylesbury like a starving beast. Inside the modest, timber-framed clinic at the edge of the village, Isolde plunged her hands into a basin of freezing water, washing away the crimson stains of her morning's labor. She was known to the villagers simply as the daughter of William the Apothecary, a quiet, fiercely intelligent woman who smelled perpetually of crushed mint, dried sage, and bitter yarrow. It was a deliberate scent. For 24 years, Isolde had bathed in pungent herbs and bound her chest with coarse linen, hiding the sweet, intoxicating pheromones of an unbonded Omega. In a world where packs tore each other apart for territory, and Omegas were traded like prized, breeding mares, anonymity was her only armor. Then came the howling. It was a sound that vibrated through the floorboards and rattled the glass vials on her shelves. The village bells began to toll, a frantic clanging rhythm that was swiftly silenced by the splintering of oak doors and the screams of the night watch. The Ironhold pack had breached the village walls. Isolde did not run. She knew the wilderness in a blizzard was just as deadly as the Lycan warriors currently tearing through Aylesbury's defenses. Instead, she moved methodically, sweeping her rarest tinctures, hemlock, belladonna, and refined silver dust, into a hidden compartment beneath the floorboards. The door to her clinic did not open. It exploded inward, showering the room with splinters and snow. Through the threshold stepped King Roderick. He was a mountain of a man, clad in boiled leather and chainmail that was frosted with ice and dark, fresh blood. His jaw was covered in a rough, dark beard, and a jagged scar cut a brutal path from his left temple down to his collarbone, a violent memento from his late father, King Henry. Roderick's eyes, a piercing, unnatural amber, swept the room with the predatory calculation of an alpha who had conquered half the known world. But he was not here to conquer Aylesbury. He was here out of desperation. Behind him, two massive warriors carried a makeshift stretcher constructed from shattered pikes and a torn cloak. On it lay a young man, his skin ashen, gasping for air. His chest was wrapped in bandages soaked through with black, viscous blood. "Where is the healer?" Roderick's voice was a low, terrifying rumble that commanded absolute submission. The sheer force of his alpha aura pushed Isolde to her knees, her lungs burning as her body instinctively tried to submit to his dominance. "I am the healer," Isolde managed to say, gritting her teeth and forcing herself to stand. Her defiance caused Roderick to narrow his eyes. "You?" Roderick sneered, stepping closer. The heat radiating off his massive frame was overwhelming in the freezing room. "You are nothing but a slip of a girl. If my brother, Lord Thomas, dies on your table, I will burn you alive alongside this village. If you continue to block my light and waste my time with threats, he will certainly die," Isolde snapped back, her hands already reaching for her surgical tools. She didn't have time to be terrified. The sight of the black blood triggered her medical instincts. Roderick looked momentarily stunned by her insolence, a deep growl vibrating in his chest, but he stepped aside. Isolde knelt beside Thomas. The wound was a deep laceration across the abdomen, but it wasn't the cut that was killing him. The veins around the wound were a pulsing, unnatural purple. Isolde leaned in, her nose twitching. Beneath the smell of sweat and impending death, she caught the faint, metallic tang of refined wolfsbane. "He wasn't just slashed," Isolde said, her hands moving rapidly as she uncorked a bottle of clear alcohol. "The blade was poisoned, a specific, slow-acting root found only in the northern crags. Your men have been bandaging a wound that is actively rotting his internal organs." "Cure him," Roderick commanded, stepping so close Isolde could feel his breath on her neck. "I need boiling water, clean linen, and absolute silence," she ordered, not looking up. To her surprise, the Alpha King turned to his men and barked the orders. For the next hour, the clinic became a frantic surgical theater. Isolde worked with a precision that bordered on the miraculous. She sliced away the necrotic tissue, her hands steady despite the blood. But the poison had seeped too deep. Conventional herbs would not be enough to draw out the heavy toxicity of the wolfsbane before it stopped Thomas's heart. She needed a catalyst. She needed an Omega's tears, or more potently, their blood. The ancient texts, long burned by the ruling Alphas, stated that the blood of a pure-blood Omega held regenerative properties that could neutralize lycanthrope poisons. Checking to ensure Roderick's attention was momentarily diverted by his pacing, Isolde took her sharpest scalpel and made a swift, shallow cut across her own palm. She squeezed her hand, letting 5 drops of her crimson blood fall directly into the open, poisoned wound, quickly covering it with a heavy poultice of crushed comfrey and spiderwebs to staunch the bleeding. Instantly, the black veins on Thomas's stomach began to recede, fading to an angry red, then to a normal flush. His labored breathing settled into a deep, rhythmic slumber. Isolde exhaled a shaky breath, binding her own hand in a scrap of linen. She had saved him. But in her haste, she had made a fatal error. The heat of the room, combined with her physical exertion and the open cut on her hand, had burned through her carefully applied mask of sage and mint. The raw, undeniable scent of vanilla, rain, and wild honey. The scent of a pure, unbonded Omega filled the cramped room. Roderick froze in his tracks. His amber eyes snapped toward Isolde, the pupils dilating until they consumed the iris. The air in the room suddenly felt heavy, suffocating, charged with a primal electricity. He crossed the distance between them in a single, terrifying stride, grabbing her wrist with a grip like an iron vice. He lifted her bleeding hand, bringing it to his nose. He inhaled deeply, a shudder running through his massive frame. He looked at the healing wound on his brother, then down at the girl trembling in his grasp. The pieces of the puzzle slammed together in his mind. The healing, the scent, the legend of the lost Lancaster line. "You are no simple apothecary," Roderick whispered, his voice dark with a dangerous mix of awe and predatory possessiveness. "Your blood belongs to my lineage." Isolde tried to pull away, her heart hammering against her ribs like a trapped bird. "Let me go. I saved his life." "And you have forfeit your own freedom in doing so," Roderick replied, his gaze dropping to her lips before locking back onto her eyes. "Bind her. We ride for Castle Dunbarton. The king has found his prize." Castle Dunbarton was not a home. It was a fortress carved into the living rock of the jagged cliffs overlooking the sea. For 3 weeks, Isolde had been a prisoner within its imposing stone walls. Yet she was not thrown into the dungeons. Instead, she was placed in the highest tower, given a bed with down pillows, furs from the northern hunts, and, most importantly, a fully stocked laboratory that rivaled the finest apothecaries in London. She was a captive, but she was treated with a strange, suffocating reverence. Roderick's personal guard stood outside her heavy oak door at all hours. She was allowed to leave only to tend to Lord Thomas, and always under the watchful, heavy gaze of the Alpha King himself. Thomas was recovering, but the progress was agonizingly slow. Every morning, Isolde would descend to the royal chambers to check his bandages. Every morning, Roderick would be there, sitting in the corner, his eyes tracking her every movement. The tension between them was a physical, living thing. Roderick was a harsh ruler, known for executing traitors with his bare hands, yet around Isolde, he exhibited a terrifying restraint. He would bring her rare medical texts, salvaged from conquered territories. He would stand close enough that she could feel the heat radiating from his chest, inhaling her scent with a blatant, unabashed hunger. Yet he never forced himself upon her. It was a psychological siege. He was waiting for her Omega nature to submit to his Alpha dominance. Isolde, however, was fighting a different war. On the 21st day of her captivity, she was grinding dried willow bark in her tower when a realization struck her like a physical blow. Thomas's wound was closed, yet the young lord was growing weaker, plagued by night sweats and a creeping paralysis in his lower limbs. She abandoned her mortar and pestle and hurried down the spiraling stone steps toward the royal wing. The guards parted for her, accustomed to her erratic hours. Inside the chamber, Thomas was asleep, his skin clammy. Isolde bypassed the wound entirely and went straight for the small silver pitcher resting on the bedside table. The pitcher containing the tonic prepared daily by the castle's kitchens to ease his pain. She lifted the pitcher, pouring a few drops onto a piece of raw parchment. She sprinkled a pinch of refined salt over the liquid. The liquid hissed, turning a vibrant, unnatural green. Wolfsbane. But not the crude root from the battlefield. This was an elegant, distilled liquid extract. Aconitum napellus. Tasteless. Odorless. Deadly. Someone inside the fortress was slowly, methodically assassinating the king's brother. "What are you doing?" Isolde spun around. Standing in the doorway was Lord Cedric, Roderick's most trusted beta and the master of coin. Cedric was a sharp-featured man, with eyes like polished obsidian, clad in immaculate velvet tunics that hid a cunning, ruthless ambition. Beside him was his personal servant, Peter, a timid boy who looked terrified of his own shadow. "Checking the Lord's vitals," Isolde lied smoothly, hiding the stained parchment behind her back. Cedric's eyes narrowed. "The king has summoned you to the Great Hall. I suggest you do not keep him waiting, little healer. You may have enchanted him with your talents, but you are still a prisoner here." Isolde nodded tightly, slipping past the beta. Her mind raced. Cedric had unfettered access to the royal wing. He controlled the flow of goods into the castle. He had the means, and as second in command to a king with no heir, save for a dying brother, he certainly had the motive. When Isolde entered the Great Hall, Roderick was seated on a throne of dark iron, holding court with his generals. He dismissed them the moment she walked in, the heavy wooden doors slamming shut to leave them entirely alone.
"You requested me, my king?"
Isolde asked, keeping her chin high.
"Thomas grows weaker," Roderick said, stepping down from the dais.
The vulnerability in his eyes was something he only ever showed to her.
"You promised me a cure, Isolde."
"I gave you a cure for the blade,"
Isolde said, her voice dropping to a whisper. She closed the distance between them, looking around the empty hall.
"But I cannot cure a poison that is being fed to him daily."
Roderick froze. The vulnerability vanished, replaced instantly by the terrifying cold rage of an alpha whose pack was threatened. Speak plainly. The tonic by his bed. It is laced with distilled aconitum napellus. Someone is slowly poisoning him. Someone with access. She paused, taking a breath. Lord Cedric. Roderick grabbed her shoulders, his grip bruising. You dare accuse my beta? He fought alongside my father. He bled for this pack. And now he is bleeding your brother dry to take your throne, Isolde shouted back, refusing to cower. I need proof, Roderick growled. A bold claim from a captive Omega against a decorated war hero will not stand. If you are wrong, the pack laws demand your tongue.
Then I will give you proof, Isolde said, her eyes blazing with reckless determination. Without another word, she turned and sprinted back toward the royal wing. Roderick let out a roar of confusion and chased after her.
Isolde burst into Thomas's room. Cedric was still there, leaning over the unconscious boy, a small glass vial in his hand. Cedric jumped, hiding the vial in his sleeve as Isolde and the Alpha King stormed into the room. My king, Cedric stammered, bowing quickly. I was just checking on the boy.
Isolde didn't look at Cedric. She walked straight to the bedside table, picked up the silver pitcher, and poured a heavy goblet full of the tainted water.
Isolde, stop! Roderick commanded, stepping forward.
Isolde looked the Alpha King directly in the eyes.
You wanted proof, Roderick. Watch.
She raised the goblet to her lips and drank deeply.
No.
Roderick lunged, slapping the goblet from her hand. It clattered against the stone floor, spilling the remaining liquid. For 3 seconds, nothing happened.
Cedric let out a mocking laugh. The girl is hysterical, my king. She seeks to create chaos.
Isolde collapsed. The poison hit her system with the force of a battering ram. Because she possessed pure Omega blood, it wouldn't kill her instantly as it would a human. But the reaction was violently swift. She hit the stone floor, her body convulsing, her veins immediately turning a stark, visible black against her pale skin. She coughed, a spray of dark blood staining the white linen of her dress. Roderick fell to his knees, catching her before her head struck the floor. His roar shook the very foundations of Castle Dunbarton, a sound of pure, unadulterated heartbreak and alpha fury. He looked up at Cedric. The beta had backed away against the wall, his face drained of all color, the glass vial slipping from his sleeve and shattering on the floor, releasing the pungent smell of concentrated wolfsbane. Roderick didn't need a confession. His eyes flared a brilliant, blinding gold.
Guards!
Roderick's voice was the sound of a mountain tearing apart. As the doors burst open, he gathered Isolde's trembling, poisoned body against his massive chest, burying his face in her neck.
Take the beta to the dungeons. Do not let him die. He belongs to my claws now.
Roderick looked down at Isolde, her breathing shallow, the sweet scent of her fading beneath the harsh metallic smell of the poison. He pressed his forehead against hers, his tears mixing with the blood on her lips.
Hold on,
he pleaded, his voice cracking, shedding the title of king, becoming only a terrified mate.
You belong to my lineage, Isolde. I forbid you to leave me.
The stone floor of the royal wing was agonizingly cold, but to Isolde, the chill was radiating from the inside out. The distilled aconitum napellus did not just attack the heart. It turned the blood to freezing sludge. She could hear the frantic shouts of the guards, the clatter of armor, and Roderick's voice, a desperate, terrifying sound that seemed to tear his throat apart,
but it all sounded as though it were submerged under thick, black water. She felt herself being lifted, the sheer heat of Roderick's chest pressing against her rapidly cooling skin. He was sprinting. The scent of his distress, a sharp, burnt ozone, cut through the metallic tang of the poison in her nose. So this is the end, Isolde thought, her vision narrowing to a tunnel of grey. For 24 years she had survived by hiding, by masking her scent with bitter herbs, by keeping her head down while alphas and corrupt lords dictated who ate and who starved. She had played the meek apothecary to survive, and in the end her defiance had lasted exactly 5 minutes before killing her. Roderick kicked open the heavy iron doors of the subterranean hot springs beneath the castle. The cavern was thick with steam, and the smell of sulfur and ancient, mineral-rich water. He waded directly into the shallow, steaming pool, still fully clothed in his armor, clutching her to his chest.
Gregory!
Roderick roared, his voice echoing off the cavern walls.
Get down here! Now!
An elderly man, the castle's chief physician, scrambled down the wet stone steps, his hands trembling as he carried a satchel of vials. He took one look at Isolde's black veins, which now spiderwebbed up her neck and across her jawline, and his face fell.
My king, Gregory whispered, dropping to his knees at the edge of the pool. That is concentrated wolfsbane, a fatal dose. Her pulse is gone. She has crossed the threshold.
I do not accept that, Roderick snarled, his eyes bleeding from amber to a terrifying, luminescent gold. He pulled Isolde tighter against him, the water swirling around them. Her head lolled back against his arm. She was completely unresponsive. The grey tunnel had closed. Isolde was surrounded by the heavy, silent dark of death.
Roderick, you must let her go,
Gregory pleaded, tears in his old eyes. The poison will seep through her pores. It will burn you. She is my mate, Roderick stated, the words vibrating with ancient primal weight. She carries the Lancaster blood. She does not die today. In the suffocating void of her mind, Isolde felt a sudden, piercing agony. It wasn't the freezing bite of the poison, but a fire so intense it felt like liquid sun being poured directly into her jugular. Roderick had leaned down and buried his fangs deeply into the junction of her neck and shoulder, the mating gland. He was not just marking her, he was initiating a blood bond, a forbidden, archaic ritual that forced an alpha's vital energy and regenerative cells directly into the dying heart of their chosen mate. It was a violent, desperate gamble that usually killed them both. Isolde's back arched violently out of the water. The fire tore through her veins, chasing the black sludge of the wolfsbane. In her mind's eye, the void shattered. She didn't see angels or a peaceful afterlife. She saw a visceral, violent rebirth. She saw the ashes of the apothecary she had pretended to be burning away, revealing the pure, predatory strength of the Omega lineage she possessed. The poison, rather than killing her, became the catalyst that shattered the physical barriers holding back her true nature. Her heart, which had been silent for 3 minutes, slammed against her ribs with the force of a battering ram. Isolde gasped, her eyes flying open. She convulsed, coughing up a mouthful of black, tainted water and blood onto Roderick's chainmail. The black veins on her skin began to literally steam, evaporating into the cavern air as her newly awakened pure blood system annihilated the toxin. Roderick pulled back, his mouth stained with her blood, his chest heaving. The sheer relief in his eyes was blinding. Isolde looked up at him, her breathing ragged but steady.
She could hear the drip of condensation on the cavern ceiling 50 feet above. She could smell the fear sweat on Gregory's skin on the shore. The heavy, intoxicating scent of rain, vanilla, and wild honey poured off her in waves, no longer muted, but dominant and demanding. She had died a captive human. She had woken up an Omega Queen.
"You brought me back,"
she whispered, her voice rough, lacking all its former fragility.
"I told you," Roderick murmured, resting his forehead against hers, his hands shaking as he touched her flushed cheeks. "You belong to my lineage. Death itself would have to fight me for you."
Isolde looked past his shoulder, her eyes hardening into chips of cold flint. She touched the fresh, burning mark on her neck.
"Cedric."
"He is in the dungeons," Roderick promised, his voice turning into a lethal growl. "He will suffer."
"No,"
Isolde said, pushing herself up, the hot water cascading off her linen dress. The weakness was completely gone, replaced by a thrumming, dangerous energy. "Pain is too easy for a man like that. I want his legacy." The great hall of Castle Dunbarton was freezing, the air thick with nervous sweat and the sharp tang of political treachery. Elevated upon a black marble dais sat the High Council of Elders. 7 wealthy men, draped in velvet and gold chains, their expressions carved into masks of solemn hypocrisy. In the center of the hall, bound by heavy iron chains to a ring embedded in the floor, stood Lord Cedric. His velvet tunic was torn, his wrists chafed and bleeding, yet a smug, arrogant smirk twisted his lips. He knew these men. He had lined their pockets with stolen gold for years. Magistrate Corvan, a corpulent man with ink-stained fingers, slammed his wooden gavel. "We convene to judge Lord Cedric," Corvan announced, his voice echoing. "The Crown alleges high treason and the attempted murder of Lord Thomas." Cedric laughed, rattling his chains. "Delusions of a mad king. Roderick was enchanted by a peasant apothecary who poisoned herself to frame me. The witch is dead. I demand my release and a council vote to depose the king." Magistrate Corvan nodded sagely. "The council acknowledges this defense. The girl was a commoner. Her tragic death does not warrant executing a war hero. We move to dismiss." Suddenly, the heavy oak doors were violently blown inward, striking the stone walls with a deafening crash. The hall fell into absolute, terrifying silence. Roderick strode through the archway, encased in gleaming battle armor. His alpha aura struck the room like a physical shockwave, forcing lesser wolves directly to their knees. But it was not the alpha king who drew the horrified stares of the High Council. It was the woman at his side. Isolde stepped into the harsh light wearing a flowing gown of deep crimson silk. Her hair, once bound to hide her face, tumbled freely over her shoulders. The fresh mating mark on her neck was raw and undeniable. Yet it was her scent that paralyzed the court. For years, she had smelled of bitter sage. Now, her true essence flooded the room. An intoxicating, heavy blend of petrichor, wild vanilla, and raw power. It was pure, unadulterated Omega dominance. Cedric's smirk vanished. The blood drained from his face so rapidly, he swayed on his feet. "Impossible," he choked, eyes wide with stark terror. "I watched you die. I saw the poison take you."
"You watched me burn away the human fragility you relied upon," Isolde replied,
her voice carried to the vaulted ceiling with the inescapable authority of an Omega Queen. She walked directly toward the dais, Roderick a lethal shadow at her back. Magistrate Corvan sweated profusely, trying to shrink into his carved chair. Isolde slammed a leather-bound ledger down, splattering black ink across Corvin's trembling hands.
"What is this?" Corvin stammered.
"The Master Ledger from the Apothecary Guild in Oakhaven," Isolde stated coldly.
"The Outer Valleys that suffered a devastating shortage of winter herbs and grain for 3 years. A shortage that caused 40 pups to freeze last winter."
The gallery erupted in furious, low growls. Isolde turned her flint-like gaze to Cedric.
"Lord Cedric didn't just purchase refined wolfsbane to assassinate Lord Thomas. He, alongside Magistrate Corvin, artificially inflated medicinal prices, hoarded meat rations, and funneled the stolen gold into private mercenary coffers in the south.
He starved his own people to fund a coup."
"Lies!" Cedric spat, violently thrashing. "She forged those pages!"
Roderick stepped forward, drawing his broadsword.
"These ledgers were seized from Cedric's private vault. They bear his personal seal. Any man on the council who wishes to defend him may join him in chains."
The other elders immediately scrambled backward, overturning their chairs in their haste to abandon Corvin and Cedric. Isolde approached Cedric. The beta glared at her, trapped like a cornered animal.
"I am a high lord," Cedric sneered. "You cannot execute me without sparking a civil war."
"I have no intention of executing you," Isolde said softly, her eyes boring into his soul. "Death is too quick a mercy. You watched those beneath you starve and called it politics. You will learn what it means to be the lowest creature in this valley."
She nodded to the Alpha King. Roderick's voice boomed. "Lord Cedric, you are stripped of your titles, lands, and wealth. By ancient law, you are stripped of your wolf."
Cedric's eyes dilated in absolute horror.
"No! Roderick, please!"
Roderick grabbed his throat and locked a thick collar of pure silver around his neck. The pure silver seared into Cedric's flesh, aggressively severing his spiritual connection to his inner beast. Cedric screamed, writhing and weeping as he was reduced to a vulnerable human.
"Take him to the northern borders," Roderick commanded. "Take his boots and furs. Let him survive the winter exactly as the villagers he starved had to."
As the guards dragged the broken shell of Lord Cedric away, the heavy, oppressive rot of corruption that had choked Castle Dunbarton shattered. Roderick sheathed his broadsword and turned to face Isolde. The lethal fury in his eyes melted into profound, burning devotion. He did not claim her like a prize. Instead, in front of the stunned nobility, the Alpha King unclasped his heavy cloak and dropped to one knee, bowing his head in total submission to his mate. A heartbeat later, the entire hall followed. A wave of velvet and steel crashed to the floor. Isolde stood tall, breathing in the cold draft. She was the queen, reborn from poison and ash, and the cruel reign of the Ironhold was permanently over. The ashes of the old regime have scattered, and a new dawn rises for the Ironhold Pack. Queen Isolde and King Roderick proved that true power isn't born from cruelty, but forged in loyalty, sacrifice, and the unbreakable bond of pure blood lineage. Did you love this thrilling tale of survival, betrayal, and romance? Smash that like button and share it with your pack. Subscribe to the channel with notifications on for more epic fantasy audio dramas. Let us know in the comments, what was your favorite plot twist in Isolde's journey?